Hi, everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And I'm joined in the studio today by Kevin O'Donohue, as always, of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. Good to be here.
And Nassima Diane Deemer. Thank you, Nassima, for being back with us again.
Hello. I'm always happy to be
here. She's also of the Positive Mind Center.
It's great to have you.
I am also at the Positive Mind Center.
And so, yesterday, if you tuned in, we were speaking with Dr. Christian Enescu about brain chemistry and how our mental and physical health are tied together. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of feedback. Unfortunately, we were not able to... We had so much content to talk about. We had so much to discuss with Dr. Enescu that we weren't able to open the phone lines, which we had wanted to do. And we realized when we talked about it that it's actually been quite a while since we've opened the phone lines and taken calls from listeners. We've been interviewing guests. We've been talking about topics. Before that was a fun drive. So we haven't been able to take your calls, something that we want to do today.
Yep.
So stay tuned. We're going to be taking your calls later in the show. I do want to welcome everyone back and hope that you're staying warm as the cold weather begins to move in.
Yeah.
And somebody on Facebook yesterday said, or put out the question, who was that speaker on The Positive Mind yesterday? And we just want to say his name is Dr. Christian Enescu. He is here at the Positive Mind Center. And he is an integrative neurologist.
That's
Christian
right.
Enescu.
And if you want more information and updates on the show, there is that Facebook group of The Positive Mind. So you can search that on Facebook, join the Facebook group. And of course, you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. So thanks again for tuning in. Just to recap, yesterday we had on Dr. Enescu. We were talking about the brain chemistry, the link between mental and physical health. Last week, we discussed impulse control. We discussed generosity. Earlier, we discussed belief systems, how people hold on to belief systems. And we discussed suffering.
With Mark Nepo.
That's right. And we wanted to sort of tie all that together.
And also the Enneagram. We did a fun drive of 3 weeks of the Enneagram.
Right.
So our hope today was to kind of tie all of those together into a way that we can sort of recap and open the phone lines back up and talk about resiliency. And
Well, we'll talk about it briefly because Dr. Enescu mentioned this concept of getting back in balance. And he talked about without proper diet, without proper sleep, you're not going to be in balance. And so we thought it was important to talk a little bit about this concept of resilience. As a way of staying in balance and keeping in balance. You know, an oak tree is not that resilient in the wind. An oak tree is a solid, rigid, very strong type of tree. But if, a heavy wind comes, it'll knock it down. Whereas a cedar will blow with the wind.
It will bend, but not
break. It will bend and blow with the wind. And so... You know, the oak tree is just not resilient, but the cedar tree is. And we can look at people in this way and their mental health. Is your mental health rigid? Do you feel kind of stuck and rigid? And if a wind blows, it'll knock you out of your mood. It'll knock you into another mood that you have no control over what kind of mood's going to overtake you.
Or are you able to sway with the wind and the challenges that life throws your way?
Or does one mood just always take over no matter what's happening? You know, just for a moment you feel one thing and then it goes right back to that same mood. It just, the mood is the same and it doesn't seem to let go.
There are many examples in psychology, but melancholic people are like that. You know, they'll go to a party and might have a good time at the party, but they'll immediately go back to being sad or being in their melancholy. And that's their set place.
Right.
We wouldn't call them resilient, you know? It's not, first of all, melancholy is not a normal or natural psychological state or mood.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not the typical set point for a mind.
And so what are some strategies of resilient people? What are some ways to implement resiliency in our own lives?
Yeah. Well, one is to be proactive. I mean, one of the signs of a resilient person is a person who is able to be in a negative situation, a place that they don't like, and still be able to find something, find some way to be relaxed in their body and enjoy, or find something to enjoy within it. This is resilience. Because being stable, being balanced is our natural position, you know?
Right.
You talk about when you drive, something comes over you.
Yeah, well, I mentioned this on last week's show with impulse control, is that for some reason, you put me behind the wheel of a car, and I experience anger in a way that I don't when I'm not in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually being in a car and driving, as fun as it can be when the roads are open, you know, and you can drive nice and smooth,
mm-hmm.
there's something very unnatural about it. There's something, I think, that we weren't made to be in cars, to be moving that fast.
Yeah, and but when you get out of the car, you go back to your normal state.
Yeah.
So you have a flexible mind. You don't stay angry.
No,
whether you're in the car or not.
Yeah. But I do feel,
so that's a resilience.
When I'm behind the wheel,
mm-hmm.
I'm much more prone to anger than when I'm not, and it's very interesting. What is it about that
right.
puts me in that mindset? I just picked up my sister from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I picked her up at LaGuardia recently. She was flying in, and there was a guy who was like an Uber driver, and he was diagonally cutting across two lanes at a light.
Mm.
And I'm just trying to go straight.
Yeah.
And it made me crazy. Now, the light was red. I wasn't going anywhere regardless. But, you know, this guy made me crazy in that moment. And I feel that anger. I feel a physical manifestation of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel myself gripping the wheel harder.
Yeah.
I feel myself kind of hunched over, tension in my shoulders,
right.
in my back.
Right.
And when I get that awareness, when I'm able to let go of that, the physical mm-hmm, aspects of it, mm-hmm. I find the mental rebalances.
Really, yeah, exactly.
My therapist cap is going off and is on, and I'm saying, is the anger just waiting there and it comes out while you're driving?
Sure, I think it has a lot to do with impatience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you ever have moments where it's okay for somebody to cut you off? Do you ever have a day where you go, the guy's probably...
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
There are times okay. where, you know, I could drive 35 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour without a care in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not worrying about when I get there.
Yeah.
I guess those would be my more resilient days.
Yeah.
Right.
But there are days where the traffic and the congestion and the aggressive drivers of New York City send me up the wall.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point. You can have resilient days and non-resilient days. And I think a lot of it depends on what's going on in your life. How stressed out are you? Have you been able to take care of yourself along the way? You know, have you been pushing yourself? Have you been sleeping, eating right? You know, it's like if those things start to get, not taken care of, you become less and less resilient, and then you have those less resilient moments. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin, you started describing strategies for that resilient people
use. So resilient people expect good things to happen. I mean, that's one of the things that is a hallmark of resilient people, is that they go into situations expecting their needs to be met. They're expecting something to happen. Nassima, you mentioned this about taking care of yourself on mm-hmm. down days. Resilient people choose to participate in life no matter what they're feeling in that day. Yes, they might not have access to the positive expectations, but they choose to participate. They don't throw in the towel and say, okay, I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to go to work today.
Right.
So resilience, there is a reservoir of reserve
yes.
for resilient people. And like a cedar tree, there is that fluidity in a resilient, in a cedar tree that the oak tree doesn't have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And same thing with people. Yeah. So resilient people expect positive things to happen. They have a flexible mind. They're not stuck in thinking, okay, something bad is going to happen and I don't have the tools to deal with it.
Sounds like they're more likely to be optimists.
Yeah.
Yes. But I don't know. I mean, I think optimism is part of it, but it's not a Pollyanna optimism. It's based in reality. It's not that resilient people don't struggle. they'll struggle also, but they'll be able to proactively say, okay, it's not ideal, but what can I make happen in this situation? What at least can I feel satisfied in? So if you're under stress and you're in this kind of anger, what do you do? Do you do anything to talk yourself out of it?
I wouldn't say it's about talking myself out of it as much as it is recognizing the physical manifestations mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. emotional mindset
mm-hmm. yeah.
and how I react, how my body reacts physically. If I can get my body to relax and to avoid those physical manifestations, it's almost like the conduit goes backwards.
Yeah.
That it you know, that the effect goes backwards to the mental activity.
Right. Right.
Right. And you have that moment to catch it and be like, oh man, my shoulders are all tense. If I relax my hands on the wheel a little bit, relax my shoulders, then I have a little more space in my mind to not pop off.
So resilient people know when they're under stress. You know, this is a very important aspect of being resilient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are under stress and they don't know it.
Right.
You know, so resilient people, you, Ben, do this, you do something to calm your breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what else. You ease your hands up on the grip of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you take your foot off the accelerator. But
have a mantra too. Whatever the whatever the struggle or the challenge is, if the challenge is dealing with anger, I think a good mantra is, "Hey, I'm a reasonable person."
Mm-hmm.
You repeat that to yourself enough, it becomes true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Dr. Inescu was talking yesterday about, sending yourself positive messages, that we can grab these floating bubbles around of thoughts that are negative and put them on as a cap, but we can also rip them off and grab another cap that says, I'm going to get through this situation. You know, I'm a good person. That person didn't mean to hurt me, or, I'm in control.
Yeah, so I know, I was telling you earlier, I know a person, she quit smoking by giving herself this mantra of, no thank you, I don't smoke. Mm. And she would say that to herself mentally every day, even when there was no one else around. She would visualize herself saying to another person, no thank you, I don't smoke. She would walk down the street, she'd pass a group of people smoking, and in her head, just to herself, as she passed them, she would say, no thank you, I don't smoke. And using mm-hmm. that,
right.
you know, there's something you need to be resilient for, is quitting
yes.
smoking.
Yes.
Or dealing with any addiction.
Yeah.
Right? That's something that requires prolonged discipline
and practice.
Sticking to, an intention.
And a willingness to feel the uncomfortableness, the feelings, the fears that we're all medicated before.
And it's not like resilient people don't feel bad and don't have negative feelings and don't mm-hmm. struggle with addictions and struggle with different types of disorders, some anxiety or depression. It's not that they don't. It's resilient people say, this is not right. This is not my normal state. This is not comfortable, and I have to do something to get back to who I really am.
Yeah, and I think they also have a sense of, I know this is going to pass.
Yes.
And it will be better.
Right.
After it passes.
Yes, and so many people come in with depression and think that it's never going to go away. And part of the best part of therapy for them is that they're having a witness to say, yes, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, and so then it gets back to the positive expectations of something happening.
Exactly, which is another,
So this is, this is the first quality of resilience, is an expectation that positive is going to happen. The second we said is that you know how to manage stress. You're proactive about your stress. But another is to unwind. You know how to unwind,
Or let go of what it was. Like Ben, he's physically unwinding himself and letting go. And getting some perspective.
But it's, yes, and it is. And he's doing it in the moment when mm-hmm. he's feeling the stress, mm-hmm. and that's terrific. But it's also doing it during downtime. You say, I know I'm not under stress right now. I've been waiting to get back to this place of ease and calm and peace. Now I need to take care of myself. Now I need to do something for myself. Take a bath, take a massage, do some exercise, eat right, prepare a meal, take steps. And this is what resilient people do. They know that I get to a feeling of balance when mm-hmm. I take care of myself.
Exactly. It's almost like refilling the well Like, you know, maybe if you've been through a stressful time or you had a stressful day, you know, wait a minute, I'm going to plan that I'm going to have a bath tonight. I'm going to eat a good meal. I'm going to refill my tank so that I'm not going, so I'm not going on empty. When you start running on empty, you have less and less, you know, ability to be resilient.
Very good point. Very good point. Resilient people do not like to get to an empty gas tank, or they do the things.
They know it's getting empty. They see it's going to E.
That's right.
So now I'm going to make a choice.
Things, it seems like self-awareness is the key. And I want to add too, I think what I've seen, in, not only in resilient people, but generally in people who are successful, is the social aspect and the people aspect.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be resilient when it's you against the world.
Yes.
I think enlisting the support and, you know, the love and help of those around you is critical.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
critical, whether it's a friend or a family member or, you know, another loved one, a colleague, what have you.
It's a good point because it's one of the best methods of stress reduction is to be sociable.
Connecting.
Connecting.
Yes.
So, but what happens if you're limited? You know, if you're just not comfortable socially, how do you reach out to people? I'd say that as a resilient person, you would find a way to plan who to connect with when you're in, you know, a negative state or you can't get back to balance.
Right.
So it's a really good point, Ben. I think being social is a good thing. But then there's, you know, a trick Armand taught me. That, you know, if you just take a moment and lift up both ends of your mouth towards your eyes.
Right.
The power of a smile.
And you open your eyes and you let your eyes soften.
Mm-hmm.
That magically a smile can reduce your stress and your anxiety.
Absolutely.
Do you feel it as you're doing it? I mean,
completely.
I know I do. As soon as I do it, you know, if you're everybody were on the subway going to work in the morning, smiling, I bet there would be a lot less coffee drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and there'd be a lot more talking.
Yeah,
but that's to be hoped for. Finally, the last thing about resilient people, they know how to set limits, and they know how to say no.
Yes, that's part of the empty tank.
They don't take on too much stress. It's like the 2 in the Enneagram is often so much under stress, even when they're not doing and giving for people, because they're always expecting that they're going to be doing for people. Mm-hmm. So the stress really never leaves them because they're not comfortable saying no.
Yeah.
They're never, you know, it's just not in their vocabulary.
Yeah.
People who are resilient have an ease with saying no. That doesn't register with me. A no, and you know they're not afraid.
Or, you know, I've had a long day. I need to go home and get a bath.
Yeah,
you're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and Nasima Diane Deemer. Thank you both for joining us. As we mentioned earlier in the program, we do want to open up our phone lines today. It has been a while. We're hoping that we could hear from first-time callers today. So if you've never called in, today is the day. We're encouraging...
Except Carol.
Well, yeah, we're always happy to hear from a certain one of our, you know, certain of our most regular callers. But we're hoping to hear from first-time callers, really. And the number to call is 212-757-5555. We're talking about resiliency. We'd like to hear your strategies for maintaining that resiliency and maintaining a positive mind these next few weeks during this stressful time of year.
Absolutely. This is really the hardest time of the year to stay resilient. Imagine going into this season without your resilience, without your ability to get back to balance. Imagine how, I mean, it's stressful beyond repair. And then if your body isn't repairing, if your spirit isn't repairing, how do you get through this season? So Ben is saying one thing is to find a buddy, find a friend, find somebody that you can call and talk to, some way to keep in balance.
I think one.
What's your strategy? That's what we want to know.
Well, one thing that I've done, Kevin, when I've been low down in the dumps, is I've challenged myself to have every day have a minimum amount of interaction, socially, or whether it's, you know, whoever it may be. And even for people out there who, you know, have very few friends or family members, there are opportunities every day to talk to people out there, to people around you, you know, however you come across them in your life.
Your doorman, and
that janitor in your building.
That
interaction, that human connection goes a long way in terms of our mental and emotional well-being. So I strongly recommend that.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's one strategy.
Nassima, do we have a caller?
I'd love to hear
from other
people and their strategies. Let's go ahead and take a call. We have Sky calling in. Hello, Sky.
Hi.
Hello. What's your strategy, Sky?
I like to write in a journal.
It really helps
when I'm stressed. I write exactly what I'm feeling, and I just start typing about my day. And by the time I'm done with my journal entry, I'm good to go.
You really are, aren't you? You get back to balance just with your journal. Do you do it at night, or are you doing it in the morning?
I do it whenever I have time, because sometimes just getting it off my brain and putting it on paper allows more space in my brain for more important things, not stressful things.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yes, journaling is definitely a good strategy.
It's a great way to get back into balance. Do you find when you're journaling, Sky, that you actually find yourself get back into balance? Okay, this is Sky talking. By the time you finish a journal, I know I do. I keep a journal too. And you know, when I start to write in the journal, it feels like I'm an alien. But then by the time I finish, I often feel like, okay, I'm back to being Kevin again.
Yeah, exactly, and it's really motivational. Sometimes I'll start out kind of like, woe is me, why is this happening to me? And then as I write through, by the time I'm finished, I'm like, you go, girl, like, you got
right.
this, you know?
Yeah, great, definitely. A great tool for you. Listen, we loved your call. We have other callers coming in. So have a good season and spread the joy.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Sky.
You. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. Again, we're looking for first-time callers, because it's always exciting to hear from people that we've never heard from. And I definitely don't believe we'd heard from Sky before, but it's good to know she's out there.
Yeah, all the way out in East Northport.
212-757.
And she has a lot of energy. I mean, writing can do that. It's called bibliotherapy in therapy. It's bibliotherapy. Writing your feelings. And it's amazing. If people just said, I am sad, if they wrote it down, I am sad, and followed their thought that comes next, it won't be, I am sad. You can write that maybe five times, but something else will kick in. So for people that come into the center with chronic anxiety or chronic depression, one of the things we do is bibliotherapy. We have them write it out. Go home tonight, start a journal, write your feelings. It's amazing. So many people didn't even know that they had feelings when they're stuck in their melancholy or stuck in their sadness. Okay, so bibliotherapy is a great thing.
Let's take another call. We have Julia on the line. Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good, thank you. I'm sitting in traffic, and I'm not stressed about it at all.
All right.
Traffic doesn't bother me.
I hope you're on hands-free.
My daughter was in treatment for an eating disorder when she was 16.
Yeah.
And she did some amazing work, as you can imagine,
with
dialectics. And one of the things she taught me to do, which I adopted immediately and use all the time, is square breathing. It takes care of recentering you in like two ways. One is the actual breath, which a lot of people, I think sometimes people were born missing that natural breath that they know how to take at the right time.
Right.
Julia, can you explain the process for our listeners? Can you explain what goes into that?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Well, if I'm doing it right, it's a visualization of a square. You can either imagine one or you can focus on any object near you, because there are tons of squares in our life.
Yeah, sure.
And you begin your breath at a corner. You breathe in and slowly out till you reach the next point on the line, and then you repeat it, and you go across. I'm sitting here using my hands to show you, but you can't see me. And then you, of course, go down and then back over.
Right.
And so not only are you getting the breath, but through the breathing, you're kind of breathing out the stress.
Yes.
And you can almost see it leave.
Really?
And then you get to the next point, and you give yourself yet another chance to do it again. So you get like four opportunities to actually come around and finish it.
So you're
and it really,
you're essentially drawing a shape with your breath, if I got that right.
You kind of are. Or you're literally following the actual line of the shape that you're focusing on.
Okay.
Now that's the first thing. You said there was a second thing. Or is that both of them?
What I said was in that exercise, you get the breath, the physical breath, and you also get the ability to visualize, which helps you get out
that's
of yourself.
Okay. One last question. How's your daughter doing?
Amazing.
Love it.
Amazing. She's such a teenager that she gives me all the reasons to have to do a lot of square breathing.
Fantastic. All right. Well, wish her well and have a good season. Thanks for calling, Julia.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Julia.
And bye.
We have time for one more call before we get to the break. So, again, we're looking for first-time callers at 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. It's always great to hear from people that we haven't heard from. We do love our regular callers. There's quite a few of you, and we love hearing from you. But today we wanted to create the opportunity for new callers to weigh in.
And breath is such a great resource. People don't realize this. People suffer with anxiety, and they don't realize that breathing, just the breath, focus on the breath, watch the breath. She mentioned visualizing. If you visualize your breath, get this, going down to your belly button. Can you do it?
Visualize
the breath going in. Your mind can't focus on two things at once. So if you're having anxiety, you breathe. First thing you do is you start to breathe. Here we have another caller.
Okay, hi. We have Yvette on the line. We have 2.5 minutes from the break. Yvette, tell us your strategy for resiliency.
My strategy is I pray. I talk to God just like I'm talking to you, and my stress immediately leaves.
Outstanding. How often do you pray? Every
How much
a day?
Like, say, for example, I'm annoyed with you. I just say to myself, I say to God, God, can you imagine he said that to me? And then I begin to just relax. It just automatically relaxes you because you're actually mentally, you're in another space.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
It's like renewing your mind. You're actually renewing your mind because I'm not thinking of what you said to me. I'm asking somebody else, which is God, can you imagine what he said or can you imagine what he did? And immediately your stress leaves.
Fantastic. It's almost like a mantra for people that can't pray. And there are people who can't. That
we don't have to pray. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know you.
Yeah,
so the same thing you do when you're talking to God, which we call prayer, but it's actually talking to him, isn't it?
Absolutely. And how long has you been doing this? Has it helped you so much in your life?
All my life, all my life. From the time I got into this country, I had a lot of issues and problems, and I began to talk to God. And when the issues started dissolving, I'm like, I can't believe this.
Wow.
And then I thought, well, this is ridiculous. It's so easy. I might as well continue. So I just continue.
Absolutely. It's a great, great tool.
It's amazing. It really is.
Well, thank you so much. And we're glad you're on our shores. So,
and I love your program, by the way.
Thank you so much,
Yvette. I appreciate that. You have a lovely voice, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
I'm curious about, we've had three calls from three women, and there is a lot of studies out there that say that women are more resilient than men.
Absolutely not. I take issue with that.
Yeah.
There's no way that's true.
They
have children.
We're coming up on the break here, so we're going
to take that up.
We are going to take a musical break, and I want to thank our callers so far, Yvette, Julia, and Sky. Thank the three of you for calling in. We're going to take a little musical break. And we'll be back after this with your calls. Mm-hmm. Ben Webster here on WBAI. It's The Positive Mind with Solitude. Ben Webster on tenor sax, Dick Katz on the piano, Spike Heatley on the bass, Tony Crombie on drums, and Alan Haven on the organ. You know, they called Ben Webster the Brute.
Really?
His fellow musicians called him the Brute, but he sounded like anything but on that track.
Oh, gosh. They call him the Suave.
So we're talking about resiliency. You're tuned into The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. We've been taking your phone calls. It's been great to hear from some new callers. And we're talking about resiliency, strategies for maintaining a positive mind and staying resilient in the face of adversity and stress. And we will continue to take your calls at 212-757-5555. Let us know what you think, or if you're a new caller and you want to comment on any one of our recent shows, you're welcome to do that. Right now we have Lynn on the line. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, you can call me Lena. That's what all my good friends call me.
Okay. Hey, hi, Lena.
Hey, how you doing? Kevin, Nasima.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks. Yeah.
So you have plenty of strategies for us, don't you?
I do have strategies. The writing thing was an excellent one, journaling and such.
Yeah.
While I was holding on, I really loved that rendition of Solitude.
Wow.
And that you guys were playing on the Muzak.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Lynn, do you have your guitar handy?
I have my guitar. My piano's handier.
Okay. So you first of all tell us your strategies and maybe we'll have you play us something.
Well, this is funny. I was thinking because I have to have so many coping mechanisms as someone who has struggled with chronic anxiety throughout my life.
Yeah.
Music.
Yes.
You know, I'm a musician and I am a composer.
So music puts you back into balance.
Music puts me just where I belong, you know.
Yeah. So without music, your whole life would be out of balance.
It wouldn't be. I couldn't imagine that it would be my life, really, but without music. But another thing, and this is not to negate in any way the importance of music in help, even if I'm not playing it myself, performing it myself, writing it myself,
right,
listening to other composers
and
musicians is just, you know, it's absolutely wonderful. Also, helping someone or some creature that's less fortunate. I find that when I'm having, like, a meltdown, and I still have them, it's gotten much better.
Yeah.
But there are times when stress overwhelms me because I'm an unusual case. I happen to be a psychic.
You are one in a million, Lynn.
Thank you.
That I can testify
to. I'm a psychic,
to.
And I absorb a lot of crazy energy. Great energy, but also a lot of hectic energy.
That's the downside of being a psychic.
Yes, and Kevin, you're fairly psychic as well, so you know that. And the thing is, what I'll do is I'll just surf the web, and I'm not a wealthy woman, Kevin, but I'll look for someone or situation that's having a problem, and I'll do whatever I can to give that situation some type of remedy, whether it be a small donation or whether it be a free reading. You know, I do tarot card and root readings and spiritual readings, whether it be to send a stranger some healing crystals. I find that as soon as I perform an act like that,
perfect,
I'm a new person.
Did you happen to catch last week's show that we did on generosity?
I didn't. I did not. And I'm sorry, what is the other gentleman's name?
I'm Ben.
You are Ben. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not Ben Webster, the brute, right?
No, I'm not.
When you got on the phone and I heard you saying, that was Ben Webster, you said Ben Webster, and then you announced the musicians, and I was like, is this guy Ben Webster, the guy who was just playing that song?
No, I wish I could play the horn like that.
We wish.
Well, anyway, I used to listen to Armand all the time, and I knew Armand quite well.
Yes.
And I would call in. But this is the first time I actually turned on the radio. And it was funny. Just as soon as I turned it on, because I've been so overwhelmed with clients and various projects.
Sure.
Artwork is another one. Painting and doing murals and such.
Yeah.
But that's another great stress reliever. I was getting into the bath. And
I turned
you guys on and I hear Kevin saying, then you make yourself a bath and you feel better. And I was like, wow, I'm just really,
Lena,
really tuned into what's happening here. So
Lena,
I was thinking maybe I should call. And so this is really the first show I've caught.
You're going to do it again, I know. And we have another caller coming in. But look, great to hear your voice. I guess I'll hear it again very shortly.
Yes.
But it struck me that, you're giving these acts of charity are sort of like forms of prayer. Like Ben was talking about reaching out and connecting to people. So it's connecting to these principles of resilience.
Connecting to other people and also the ability to know that you can make a difference in someone else's life and it makes your problems seem much less important, really.
Go back to Giving Tuesday, our show 2 weeks ago, and listen to that. You are the model for that, Lena.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Have a good day. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
See you soon, Lena.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lena. 212-757-5555 is the number to call.
She's so creative.
It's true. We talked about this idea of giving and gratitude and how doing something for someone else, or whether it's an individual or a group or even an animal, it can take us out of ourselves, out of our, out of our own mentality of whether it's stress or fear or difficulty, depression, and you know, it is a positive escape. So that's a great tool and a great suggestion for
and
Lena.
Music. You know, she said music.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, these are things that are out there in the environment. And then, you know, there are people around that just walking down the street here in New York, you know, people say, I don't know where to give. I don't have anywhere to give. I don't have my time. I can't get my money. You walk down the streets in New York City, you have places to give and do things for people. So there's always a possibility of connecting there somehow. So, you know, and then Lena just has so many, many ways of maintaining her spirit. She's such a resilient woman. I've had such respect for her through the years. So, you know, we thank her for calling.
You are tuned into The Positive Mind here on WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Nasima Diane Deamer and Kevin O'Donohue. And we're talking about strategies for resiliency.
Are there any resilient men out there?
Keeping a positive mind. We've heard from many women, and we're hoping to hear from first-time callers. We have another woman on the line. We have Gloria on the line. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
So what's your strategy?
It's very important these days.
Yes, it is. How do you do it? How do you stay resilient?
You know, I'm going to share some tips which I've had to learn because I was in a car accident and had disabilities that just, I needed to be calm all the time. And they were affected my spine, so my nerves would just be very agitated. And I think some of it is what we eat and what we drink.
Oh, yeah.
Just what we take into our body, learning not to eat and drink certain things.
Mm. Did you learn that by being on your back for a while? You said, when I have a caffeinated drink, it does this to me. When I have this, I feel this. And I think that's one of the benefits, if you could use that word, the positives of being, you know, laid up in bed for a few weeks. You see what is going to help you and what isn't.
Well, I had to cut coffee out of my life, and different foods, and take fish oil.
Okay.
I had so much inflammation in my muscles, which would then create more stress in my body.
Sure, sure. Did you listen to us yesterday when Dr. Inescu was talking about being the people that use their mind when their body isn't working, but they use their mind as if the body was working as a sort of healing mechanism? Did you hear that yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. And I could attest to that being very true. The mind leads the body.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I had to do to myself to really use my mind to overcome physical injuries. And it works.
Okay. And how are you holding up now?
Well, I had back surgery and two hand surgery and a dislocated collarbone. Everything's fixed, but I'm doing fine now. You know, I just watch. When I get very stressed or anxious, I live in Inwood, so I take a walk to the park to calm down.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Get in touch with nature.
Big. That's a big
really,
one.
Yeah, that's a great
getting
strategy.
Getting outdoors, getting outside.
And that's connecting, right. Getting connecting that energy nature. Going, yeah. You know, shifting the energy.
Yeah.
And there was one more that I wanted that was, disconnecting from media.
Oh, very good.
That's a prime strategy. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's
You know, disconnecting from media and connecting with nature, because that's happening all the time, and it's very positive in its way of happening.
And disconnecting with people in on the computer and technology, and actually connecting with people in person and in body.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Listen, Gloria, we appreciate your call. This is terrific, a great suggestion. And we wish you continued health.
You're welcome, and I'm enjoying your program.
Thanks, and call in again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
bye.
Gloria. 212-757-5555 is the number.
Women
to call.
Being more resilient than men.
You know, I've heard it too, Kevin, and I mean, we know that women have a higher pain threshold than men for a variety of reasons, but we've heard from a lot of women callers today, only women callers.
Yeah.
And it's good to hear from them, and it's good to hear from new callers. It's always great to hear from people out there that are new to the show and new to the Positive Mind family. Let's hear from a man. Let's hear from Gene. Hi, Gene.
Is it Gene female or Gene male?
Oh, Gene a female or a male?
Well,
female? Okay. Gene, you there?
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Hey, Gene. How are you?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to reiterate what the other caller said. Prayer is so important, especially when one is saved with Jesus, because he's the one that leads people.
Sure.
And I'm going through a horrible trial now. I lost my brother, and it's very traumatizing.
Oh.
And.
Yeah.
It's just so disturbing. I heard you talk about that you had lost a friend, and if it's somebody that's so close to you, you know, it could be a friend or it could be a family member, whoever it is. It's very traumatizing. It feels you know, one pastor had said it's like you're losing a limb. It's very,
absolutely.
It's very, you know, it's like every morning I wake up and I just feel it's like I'm climbing up that wall again. And I just remember that he, my Savior, died on the cross for my sins.
Yeah.
And he's there for me, and he's there to embrace me and not never leave me.
Wonderful.
So if, yeah.
Wonderful. Do you have people in your life that you turn to also? Because losing a friend and losing somebody important in your life, you know, is really one of the hardest things in the world. And you know, do you have people that you've shared this with?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be needing more.
Yeah.
I know that as a human, you know, even when you have Christ, you still need the body of Christ. And I do have some people that I can talk to, and I'm trying to expand on that as time goes on. It's just that there's so much happening with me right now. My mother is ill, and she's got dementia, and it's time. Constraining.
Well, it's time for you to get some connection with people also.
Yes.
You know, learn, receive from people. I know one thing about being a caretaker, especially of the elderly, is that people who do this really need to feel other people's feelings and what they're going through. And that's a form of connection. I think what Lena was saying about reaching out to people less fortunate than you is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when your spirit's struggling, it's good to have another person there.
I have a support group.
Oh, fantastic.
Her.
That's the thing to do.
So,
I
have a connection to, over the phone connection with individuals that contact me
fantastic.
In regards to a health system that I'm in right now. And they're concerned about me. It's true, it's authentic and genuine, and I can feel it.
Yeah.
And we're connecting on the same basis with Jesus as our Savior.
Yeah.
And that's so important for mankind, because Jesus did die for all of our sins. He's always there for all of us.
Well, we're connected to you also and concerned about you and want you to stay well.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your call.
Thank you. God bless you. Walk
you
in Christ
too.
And
God
be
bless.
Well.
Thank
Bye-bye
you so
now.
Much, Gene. 212-757-5555. Number to call. That's 212-757-5555. We've heard some interesting strategies today. We heard from a variety of new callers. We heard about journaling as a strategy to deal with anxiety and adversity and for staying resilient. We've heard about music as a positive place to go.
Yeah.
Breathing. That's a good one.
Yes.
We heard about breathing. We heard to go outside. How about that? Just go outside, and especially in a city like New York.
That's mine.
It's so important to really get away from the hustle bustle and the concrete jungle. And whether even if you're just going into the park for 15, 20 minutes, just take a breather, you know, take a breath. We also heard, of course, prayer. And prayer is a very personal thing, and it's very powerful for many people that are using prayer as a strategy to be resilient and to deal with adversity.
And you mentioned mantra. You know,
mantra, sure.
A mantra like, I am not a smoker, thank you for offering.
Right. And you know? And another one that we heard that I particularly like was basically turn off your TV. You know, turn off the computer, turn off the cell phone, disconnect.
Connect to a human and not to a computer screen.
And if connecting to a human is hard for you, connect to nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go outside.
It can be a wonderful thing.
Oh, this is
a
fun show.
You know, there's a lot of places. If you're in the city here, there's a lot of ways that, you know, you can, in an afternoon, get out to somewhere that is really pretty natural and pretty isolated. I mean, you hop on the Metro North for an hour and a half, or, you know, even some parts
of
Long
Island.
Take a
window seat.
Oh, yeah. Staten Island, Long Island, you know, they all have beautiful natural areas.
Sure. Should we take another call?
Yeah.
We have Linda on the line. Hello, Linda.
Another woman.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Linda.
I agree with what everyone's been saying, and I have a couple of suggestions that haven't been brought up yet.
Yeah.
Great, please.
For a while, I had studied a voice, and I had a vocal coach who was, you know, trying to get excess anger out of me, and it was a great technique where you visualize the person in front of you like a punching bag, and you just start punching, and at the same time you're punching with each word, you do a punch, and you say things to them that are, say, politically incorrect, but you just want to get it out of your system.
Yes.
So something like, how dare you do that to me? And with each word, I'm punching. And
can I just interrupt a second?
Within a minute of doing that, you feel a release of anger. It's incredible.
How dare you vote for that person?
Exactly. So that's one great technique.
Absolutely.
Another one, when you've had a really hard day at work, and say it's late at night, so you can't really call your friends, and put on some music and dance. Just,
dance.
You know, freelance dancing, rock music, whatever helps. And you will feel a clearing of your mind. It also helps if you're intensively studying for a test and you need a quick study break.
Yeah.
Either put on some music and dance or go run up and down some stairs, and you will feel like you've rejuvenated yourself.
Yes.
I think that's a fantastic suggestion, because a lot of times when we get into a certain mindset, it becomes really traumatizing. And one of the ways to get out of sort of traumatic feelings is to start moving. Because that's all that energy builds up. And like if you're studying for a test and you're anxious and you feel trapped, it's like, woo, let's just move it and, you know, let it go. And that allows that energy to redistribute.
Linda, just to add to you, I always tell couples that, you know, are really, really stuck to go take a salsa class together. Unfortunately, I lose people that way. But, you know, I just need, you know, you can't be sad and dancing at the same time.
Well,
and sometimes you need.
It's that nonverbal communication that you do with somebody. You get tuned into.
That's it.
The touch. I'm a licensed massage therapist as well, as Messina, so I understand a lot of this. And I pass on these techniques to my clients as well.
Love it.
Great.
Well, look, those are two really great suggestions. We do practice, you know, letting it out here at the Positive Mind Center with a soundproof room. So we can attest to the value of screaming and externalizing all this energy. So thanks for reminding us.
Linda, thank you so much for the call and your contribution. We want to get to one more caller if that's possible, but I want to thank you for tuning in and calling today.
And thank you all for doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We have time, like I said, for one more caller. We're coming up at the end of the hour here. We'd love to hear from you. 212-757-5555. We're talking about strategies for resiliency, what you do in the face of adversity and stress and difficulty in your life. What are your strategies? How do you maintain a positive mind? How do you maintain, you know, the fortitude to face difficulties in your life?
What's a man's strategy? I mean, you know, I go outside. I know that. But I also take myself out to dinner once in a while, and that seems to bring me into balance. But I'm sure we can get an argument going here that men are as resilient as women. But, you know, women do give birth. So, and if you do it multiple times, I can imagine being very resilient.
There's a lot we have to be resilient about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We got time, like I said, for one more caller. We're going to take our first male caller of the hour. We have John on the line. John, real quick, since we're up against the end of the show, what do you do?
Sure. What I try and do is find, now I'm a married male, married to a female who is great to talk to at any time. But I find that, because I think, in my experience, that most males don't open up, and they don't, for some reason, want to admit any type of fault. I don't know if it's just the masculine man, but that's what I find. But so what I'm trying to say is, I do try and find other coworkers or relatives that are male to get their perspective and their point of view, and to try and let them know, listen, it's not a sign of weakness to admit fault when you're a man. So I do try and seek that out in my male counterpart.
It's a great point, John. I think it's really critical for men to be able to connect with other men and have that space for masculinity and dialogue. You know, there doesn't, just because something is emotional doesn't make it any less masculine, and that's important.
Yes.
Yeah, and vulnerability. And John, just so you know, I mean, Armand said that men do have it tough, and they did this long series on men's series. Did you ever hear it?
No, I haven't. Can you repeat that?
The men's series that Armand did, we'll do it during a fun drive, because I think men are asking for it again.
John, if you get the chance, go on our archives, check out the episode called The Loneliness of Men.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great insight into a lot of what you're talking about. Unfortunately, we do have to get going. We're right up against the end of the hour. I want to thank everyone who called in today. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Yvette. Thank you, Sky, Gloria, Jean, Linda, and of course, John. Thank you so much for being with us today. Nasima, Kevin,
thanks,
thank you guys
thank you,
for a great show, and it's great to hear from all these new callers.
Always great to be here.
And it's great to open up the phone lines again and hear from everyone out there. We really love to hear from you. You can send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get to the last few callers. You can always reach us here at the Positive Mind Center at 212-757-4488. And catch us Tuesdays and Wednesdays here on WBAI at 1 p.m. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in, for calling in. We'll catch you next time.